Hello, this is Natasha, and this is the 9th episode of our story about a girl band called The Chicks. Good evening, and welcome to Istanbul, gateway to the east, or gateway to the west, if you're coming from the other direction. If, like me, you're a fool for drum machines, wind machines, clawing, pawing, glitz and glitter, crazy costumes and bizarre behaviour, you've come to the right place, for this is the 76th run along that well-worn racetrack, the Eurovision Song Contest! As is the long tradition in Britain, the television commentary for the final of the Eurovision Song Contest did not take proceedings 100% seriously. But that didn't mean to say that the millions of viewers at home weren't rooting in their hearts for their country's entry, Life is a Circus, sung by a young girl band called The Chicks. The papers were saying it was the UK's best shot at the Eurovision for years, a song with real sincerity, or, as one commentator put it, too good to win the Eurovision. The Chicks had arrived in Istanbul almost a week beforehand. Their hotel overlooked a wide, grimy waterway, busy with boats and barges. Istanbul's not exactly what I expected, said Laura. What did you expect? Asked her younger sister Gladys.
Well, you know, more like Ibiza. But that doesn't mean to say it isn't cool, because it's amazing to be here.
Gladys explained that the name of the waterway was the Bosporus, and it divided Europe from Asia. But geography did not impress the older three girls nearly so much as their hotel's fat-tapped bathrooms and field-sized beds.
I could live here and never go out the front door again, said Mandy as they ate ice cream and sipped soft drinks in a cafe on the 16th floor of the hotel. But there was work to do. A film crew followed the Chicks around the great sights of Istanbul. They posed outside the Topkapi Palace and the Blue Mosque with its six minarets. And then they went inside the ancient Basilica of Hagia Sophia, or Holy Wisdom. 1,500 years ago, it had served as a cathedral of the Byzantine Empire and then later as a mosque. Now it was a museum. The girls looked up at the enormous dome, radiant with gold mosaics and natural light, and at the black shields in the corners, bearing unfamiliar Oriental letters. You know what? Said Laura. I really feel something in here, like a mystical power. I would never have come on my own. But thank you, Gladdy, for bringing us here. This is really cool. They wandered through the alleys of the Grand Bazaar, the largest covered market in the whole world. The storeholders charmed them into buying stuff they never knew they needed, including leather jackets, copper pots, fake designer shoes, strange lamps, and even a Turkish rug or two. But the girls always got good prices by finding that they could charm their way through the bargaining by using some of their songs and dances. They won the best discounts in the whole market. And of course there were rehearsals too. They sang their number on a vast stage set up in the middle of a sports stadium. The thousands of empty seats were kind of ghostly, more scary than if they were full of people. They felt tiny as they performed their song in such a vast vacuum. Afterwards, they went up to the control room while the TV producers from London played back video of their performance and discussed camera angles with their Turkish colleagues. Some of the cameras, mounted on cranes, were swooping over the top of the stage, while others were zooming in close up and focusing on their faces. Arnie, their manager, was pressing for them to use the close-ups.
"Do you think we've got, like, enough stuff going on?" asked Laura.
"I mean, like, all the other acts have got fireworks and lasers and armies of dancers."
"Yeah, I do think we've got enough stuff going on,"
said Arnie with a touch of tetchiness.
"Our entry is about you lovely girls and the song, not about all that other razzmatazz."
And Gladys thought she understood what Arnie was doing. If the girls had lots of singers and performers all around them, they could sort of hide. This way, they were in the frame and they had to give it their all. And then there was the press conference. It was held in a meeting room of their hotel. Four chairs were set up for the chicks behind a table with lots of microphones on it. At first, Gladys assumed that the fourth place was for Arnie. But then she noticed that there was a name card on the table saying Gladys. Perhaps it was a mistake. There were only three sisters in the band. She was always working behind the scenes. But Mandy ushered Gladys to her place. She put her legs under the table and blinked at the rows of journalists with the notebooks on their laps and the video cameras mounted on tripods. The first question from a journalist was,
"Is it true that Gladys, aged 12, wrote this circus song on her own?"
"Absolutely," said Mandy, and all the other girls nodded.
"She's 10 times smarter than the rest of us put together," agreed Laura.
And the next question was,
"Gladys, can you tell us a little bit about how you wrote your song?"
And Gladys realised, for the first time, she, and not just her sisters, were in the spotlight. Nobody had actually asked her before how she wrote her songs. She stumbled a bit.
Well, I think of a theme, like, say, a circus. And then I think of some words that are about the circus, but are really about, you know, relationships and that sort of stuff. Because that's what pop songs are all about, really. You know, I have three older sisters, so I kind of get ideas off them.
She felt herself going bright red. She wasn't sure why, really. But afterwards, everyone said that she'd answered all the questions brilliantly.
"It's a great story," said Arnie. 12-year-old girl writes winning song in Eurovision."
And now, at last, it was Saturday night and the start of the show. The next day would be the flights back to London, Heathrow Airport. These last few hours could be the chicks' last taste of fame and success. In 3.5 hours, the winner would sing their entry one more time, and there would be tears of joy and disappointment. The chicks sat at a table in the area cordoned off for all the singers and their entourages. They were all wearing circus costumes ready for their performance. Sam was a clown, Mandy a ringmaster, and Laura a glitzy acrobat. Round their table with them sat the backing musicians, four cool young boys who didn't say that much, their manager, Arnie, their mum and dad, and of course, Gladys. Arnie was swapping statistics with dad.
Both of them seemed to know exactly which years the UK had won the contest or come second, and which countries generally voted for their friends. In fact, Gladys was amazed that their dad was such an expert. 1974, that was the year, I remember it well, when ABBA won, said Dad. But my favourite was the 1967 when Sandy Shaw topped it with A Puppet on the String, chipped in Arnie.
Oh, I'm way too young to remember that, claimed Dad.
The girls were more fascinated by their fellow contestants.
It's a freaking freak show, said Mandy.
Yeah, have you seen the Tooth Fairy? Said Laura. She was staring at a woman from Iceland in an extremely flouncy dress.
Hey, check out Eric the Viking, said Sam.
She meant one of the contestants from Bosnia-Herzegovina. Gladys knew that sneering at all the continental contestants wasn't in the best of taste, and given the girls were wearing circus costumes, perhaps they weren't entirely immune from criticism themselves. But gently sniping was their way of controlling their nerves. The show opened with the whirling dervishes to set the Turkish context of the final. The hosts on stage were a young man and woman, one speaking French, the other English. When the contest properly started, the crowd whooped and cheered every performance and seemed quite nonplussed by the grandiose over-the-topness of many of the acts. Stomping glam rockers, John Travolta-style disco dancers, women with 1980s big hairdos, various types of gypsies and folk dancers, half-dressed gladiators, men in white cat suits, numerous navels, Napoleonic soldiers playing electric guitars, leaping Cossacks, accompanied by plenty of pyrotechnics and gales of confetti and CO2 blown by wind machines. Only a few acts were quite restrained. The entry from France was Très Français, but sounded just like the song they did the previous year, and the year before that. A boy from Denmark strummed a guitar and sang a bouncing happy-go-lucky folk song. And a homely girl sang a pretty ballad in Serbo-Croat. According to the draw, the United Kingdom was due on stage third from the end, just after Azerbaijan. Several songs beforehand, a producer came to fetch them. Gladys stayed seated at the table, while her sisters were given their last brush of face powder and the radio microphones were clipped to their costumes before they walked out onto the stage in the arena packed with 30,000 spectators and the cameras broadcasting their images to 100 million or more viewers around the world.
To fly and to swoop to your arms, and though I soared high, I came to no harm. You sawed me in half and you pulled me apart, and though I really laughed, you had broken my heart. You stood me quite still and you threw straight your knives, and though you didn't kill, you used eight of my nine lives. You rattled my cage and you crack, crack, cracked your whip. And though I really raged, I only bit my lip. Our dream's a circus, run away, live for the day. Our life's a circus, ups and downs, round and round. Our dream's circus, run away, live for the day. Our life's a circus, ups and downs, round and round. the fire. And though you were quite cool, you lit up my desire. You stretched a high wire and you made me walk the walk and said that you could fly, but it was only tricks and talk. Our dreams are circus, run away, live for the day. Our life is a circus, ups and downs. Show with no net below.
And the other acts were clapping wildly.
You are fantastic, said Arnie, as the girls came back to the table, positively glowing with excitement. You are easily the best, he added.
And the girls were hopping up and down and kissing each other.
But don't get excited. My bet is that you'll come second. Denmark's the only one with the exact Eurovision formula.
Gladys could see the taken aback look on her sisters' faces. Well, I think the chicks will win, she said, because the chicks were the best.
Well, maybe you're right and maybe you aren't, said Arnie. At any rate, we'll soon find out.
But it didn't seem at all soon. After the last act had played its Oompa Oompa tune, there was a long wait while the various juries around Europe and a bit beyond deliberated and voted. The audience was treated to more folk dancing during the interval. Eventually, the hosts appeared back on stage and the giant screen projected the scoreboard. Each country in turn presented its results. Latvia gave the maximum 12 points to Estonia. Russia gave 12 points to Ukraine. Ukraine returned the compliment. Cyprus voted for Greece, and vice versa. But not all the voting was quite so neighbourly and predictable, and by halfway through, the UK and Denmark were neck and neck in the lead. Sometimes the chicks slipped ahead, and sometimes Denmark held first place. The camera crews were collecting around the chicks' table. When Romania gave 12 points to the United Kingdom, the TV viewers saw the chicks hugging and kissing each other. When Belgium gave them 0 points, you could see them shrugging their shoulders and looking like, hey, whatever. Towards the end, when it became clear that it was going to be a cliffhanger, the chicks were biting their nails and looking white and serious. The last country to vote was Slovakia. There were only 2 points between Britain and Denmark. This was the last and deciding vote.
Hello, Bratislava,
called the Eurovision presenters on stage.
Good evening, Istanbul,
responded the Slovakian lady who held the results in her hand. She spoke quite matter-of-factly.
Here are the decisions of the Slovakian jury. Our 8 points go to United Kingdom.
The presenter on stage translated this result into French. It could have been worse, but it could have been better. 8 points meant the chicks were still in the running. Just. Gladys was not sure whether to be relieved or nervous.
Our 10 points go to Holland.
The result made no difference. Holland was no longer in the running to win the contest. And now, this was the deciding moment. If Slovakia gave its 12 points to Denmark, then its happy-go-lucky folk song would win the contest. But if it gave its 12 points to any other country, then the chick's song would be the winner. Gladys felt her heart sink. She knew it was highly unlikely that Denmark would not get any points at all from Slovakia. The odds were that Denmark was about to take the last 12 points and win the contest outright.
And finally,
said the Slovakian lady, before pausing to savour the suspense.
Our 12 points go to Denmark.
The audience erupted into cheers and applause. Denmark had won the Eurovision. The chicks' entry for the United Kingdom had come second. The girls were trying to smile for the cameras, but there were tears in their eyes. Mum hugged each of her daughters in turn. The cameras were only interested in the runners-up for a minute or two. Soon the girls were able to sit down and have a little bit more private commiseration. Sam was crying inconsolably. Laura was looking suddenly tired and quite drained. She had put all her energy into the performance. Dad said mournfully,
Now, I know what it feels like to lose in the final of Wimbledon.
But at least with tennis you get another chance next year, said Gladys. The chicks will never get another shot at the Eurovision.
Yeah. Sorry, Arnie, said Mandy.
You're back to losing horse here. But Arnie didn't look at all disappointed.
Oh, never mind all that, he said. Everyone knows the Eurovision is a load of old cod's wallop anyway. You didn't win.
But actually, you did win. Your story has caught the public's imagination. The press loves you, especially the angle about the schoolgirl genius who writes the songs. I've got some little presents for you girls. And he took out some papers from his briefcase. This, he said, is a draft recording contract with a top record company. They want you to do 2 albums. And this is a contract from another top record company. They want you to sign up for 4. We'll have to decide which one we want to go with. Now this is from an American promoter who wants you to tour the USA. This is an invitation to appear on the top talk show stateside. This is from a publishing company who wants to ghostwrite your biography. And this is from a Hollywood studio who wants an option on your life story. Oh, and this is a lady who wants a job as your Twitter secretary and to send out your tweets on the internet. Girls, forget Eurovision. The chicks are the biggest thing since sliced bread. And you, Gladys, have a massive career ahead of you in the music biz. And although Gladys was pleased to hear Arnie's flattering prediction, she began to wonder if a career in the music business was really what she wanted from life. And that was the 9th episode of Gladys and the Chicks. I do hope you were as excited about it as we were here at Story Nori. We had a lot of fun recording the Chicks circus song. Bertie says he'll be releasing the circus song as a separate MP3, so you can play it on your iPod, your computer, and perhaps share it with your friends as well. There will be one final episode of Gladys and the Chicks, in which we find out if Arnie's prediction of fame and fortune comes true. And if so, will the Chicks enjoy life at the top? Don't forget, you can catch up with the early episodes of Gladys and the Chicks on storynori.com. For now, from me, Natasha, bye-bye!